Across All Areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, guys, and welcome to FUBAR Radio Access All Areas.
Woo!
It's a pleasure to be back in the studio. Now, Stephen's had a little bit of an injury. We won't go into the details. I'm sure he'll tell us when he's back. So I'm joined by a guest co-host tonight, the lovely Josh Rom.
How are you, Bob?
I'm so good. How are you, Josh? Thanks for coming in.
I've been recovering from my own injury. So, Stephen, get well soon. I am sympathising with you.
Do you want to touch upon your injury? What's wrong, Josh?
I don't think our listeners would like that.
Is it a bit much? I'm a bit Dr. Illery at the minute.
Okay, so are you a Dr. Pimple Popper fan or not?
Oh,
really?
No.
Okay, well, I basically developed an abscess. Do we need to say any more about that?
I know it's got a massive following next show. See, I've got no qualms in people popping mine, because I've got a certain friend, she goes, oh, Bob, I've just got to get that.
Well, this was
But I'm not that friend that's
going to do that. But this was a little bit different. Had to go under general anesthetic for it, so...
Your mate couldn't do it on the back of the central line.
No, 2 months of recovery, horrible.
I don't mind a general anaesthetic, though.
Pardon?
I don't mind a general anaesthetic. I like when your arm goes cold.
Now, this is the funniest thing, because my mum was like, oh, you're going to love the feeling of being put to sleep. Bob, I don't even remember it.
They done it too fast. Like, I say, do it slow.
Oh, I was just like sitting there, I was laying there wide awake 1 minute, and they're like, right, time to go to sleep. And I was expecting this like nice feeling of drifting off slowly, you know, in that ab fab way. And when the deal counts, you know, one, and then you drift off slowly.
So you didn't even feel the coldness go up your arm?
Nope, not at all. I was literally like, time to go to sleep. And then all I remember was next minute, oh, I'm in recovery now. And they said, oh, would you like more painkillers? I was like, give me all the drugs.
Absolutely. Whatever you got all over. Well, I love it, Josh. And I'm glad you're feeling a bit better and that you're in the studio. Thanks for joining me this evening.
No, it's my pleasure. Happy to be here.
Now, we are in for a cracking show tonight.
Yes, we are.
So we've got a couple of lovely guests. They're both on Zoom. So we're back to the Zoom at the minute, but it's all good because we're
Listen, I feel like throughout the past 6 weeks, I feel like I've been living in the pandemic all over again. So Zoom is like my thing again.
Thank God for Zoom. And it is an amazing lineup. It's a little bit of a reality special, which we do very, very well. So we have got Below Decks, Camille Lamb joining us. And we're going to get all the tea on what's really happened on that boat.
I mean, she was fired for being, quote, too lazy. I want to know, how does she feel about that? Because it's not just UK television. This isn't just an ITVB show. This isn't just the UK. You are being fired and you are called lazy on international television.
It's a worry, isn't it? So when it comes to going to your next job, if they've listened or they've watched or they've seen online, because I'm guessing a lot of bosses now do Google candidates.
What do you mean? Your guess?
I think any
normal boss would at least do a Google or a search.
If they're considering their
candidate, and if you got that description, imagine walking into the interview and they just say, the first thing they say is, "I saw you on Below Deck."
But I guess if you're walking in, you're halfway there. They've not obviously read Google to say, right, you can't even come in for your interview. So.
Well, HR needs to be on the phone to HR then, don't they?
This is true. And we've got another little reality special, a little bit of Made in Chelsea. Are you an MIC fan?
Yeah, I am an MIC fan. And what I think is really interesting is, the thing is with Joel and Robbie, they've had a really interesting relationship on the show, not just within their own personal lives, but actually kind of what they've gone through, especially when it came to opening up about their experience of homophobia when they were on holiday. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see, you know, what they think watching that back, and also kind of how important they feel it is to have that different representation, because we've obviously got Ollie and Gareth on the show as well. So there's kind of that extra bit of LGBTQ representation going through that show, isn't there?
See, I'm so interested to hear their view, because I think maybe naively, I mean, I think I'm 2 or 3 months older than the boys. Because I'm just that little bit older, shall we say. Probably a bit more than 2 or 3 months. But I genuinely didn't think guys... them few years younger than me experienced what me and my friends and partners have in the past. So I don't think there's a gay man in his 30s that hasn't experienced some sort. But I'd like to think, maybe naively, that the guys in their 20s, the world's getting better all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't much that ever offends me anymore. Do you know what I mean? There ain't a gay slur I've not been called.
Yeah. But it's very interesting as well, because obviously you've been on reality TV for, what, a decade?
Mm-hmm.
And these guys are very new to it. So yeah. You've got your own experience where you've grown up with it, and you kind of went through that stage where you were part of that huge explosion of TOWIE just when it was getting started, where these guys have joined in on an already established TV show and franchise. So I think, from that perspective, it's interesting.
The same in the UK, because obviously that happened on holiday, didn't it?
Mm.
I'd love to think, again, naively, that people in the UK or anywhere don't experience that. Do you know what I mean? But I wonder if it is just as bad back home as it... Because how old are you, if you don't mind me asking?
I mean, I am 27.
So, I'm a year...
Sorry, 28. 28.
You're knocking off years.
I'm 28.
I can see what you're doing.
No. What
I'm
it is...
29.
It's my show. Well, the thing is, I always say I'm a year younger because of the pandemic. There was 1 year which was just a waste.
Well, so that's more why. Than 1 year that was a waste.
I know, but...
I've been in bed for three years.
No, but... But, there was 1 year in particular where it was literally like, what was the world doing? The world was literally doing nothing for a year.
Yeah, so, I was just watching Homes Under the Hammer and Four in a Bed.
That's a good choice.
Lifetime ago, though, doesn't it? It's a weird thing. When you look back, although it's still very recent, it seems a million years ago.
I mean, from my experience, I've just gone through the weirdest 2 years, 3 years. Like, it's been... Roller coaster doesn't even begin to describe it. We're talking sore at Thor Park, going right up and then right back down again, quickly.
What Einstein said, life is a roller coaster. You've just got to ride it.
But it's how you ride it that counts. Do you scream? Do you? It's not what changes. It's how you handle the changes.
How do you ride it, Josh? Do you scream?
This is not a show about my sex life. Thank you.
Not with that back and that abscess. So as we've touched upon with Maiden Shows, we've got the lovely Joel Mignot in here. So, babe, it's been quite a week for Showbiz News.
Yes, it has. So massive week.
We always start Access with a little bit of Showbiz goss.
Yes,
we're here for it. We live for it. What's caught your eye, babes?
Well, what's caught my eye, and seemingly the whole country's eye, especially Twitter, is the row that has been going on this morning when it comes to theatre etiquette. So we all know that ITV flagship daytime show, and they always have the news discussions. It was Alison and Dermot filling in for Holly and Phil, and they were hosting a discussion with Vanessa Feltz and Nick Ferrari. And there was a story that caught their eye in the newspapers. Now, not all the facts were known when it was just reported. And actually, if you were to read the story in the newspaper, you would think, oh my gosh, it's ridiculous. So a woman was ejected from a Manchester theatre because she was singing along to a song from The Bodyguard.
Banging
out a bit of Whitney, exactly. Yeah. So when you hear the story, you think, oh, it's a little bit ridiculous, a little bit excessive.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, a video has emerged since where the woman was belting out "And I Will Always Love You" at the top of her lungs. So you think, yes, it is distracting and it's poor etiquette. But these poor presenters on this morning, they took a look at it from quite a light-hearted perspective, especially Alison. She was just like, I think she the nuances in that conversation didn't quite come across on screen that I think the presenters would have liked them to have come across. And so as a result of them going, oh, well, I don't mind singing in the theatre, you had, fair enough, loads of artists take to Twitter and loads of West End performers take to Twitter being like, well, it's not fair for the performers, all of that stuff. But the utter vitriol, the toxicity that I've seen on Twitter, people demanding that they make apologies. And Alison and Dermot have made apologies.
Yeah,
and
they tore her a new one, really.
They did, but I just think it's such a shame, the world we live in, because you could tell these opinions were not meant to harm. They didn't quite get the nuances. These were honestly held opinions, innocently held opinions, that, they did not mean to cause this huge, utter outrage on Twitter.
I probably never realised it was going to get to this. Now, obviously, I've not spoken to Alison or Dermot about this, so I'm just assuming. But as we all know, like whether you're working in radio, TV, and just broadcasting in general, you'll be sent at the top of a show. You'll get a bit of a briefing, things you're going to touch upon. Now, unless you had seen them clips, which I doubt they had seen, I don't think they were available
because obviously you actually shouldn't even record a performance in the theatre. Let's just, if we're talking about wider audience etiquette, you shouldn't be filming performances anyway. So it's one of those things where actually the clips weren't released until the day later.
So when they've sat on that sofa and they've just read this little briefing
and they just thought, oh, this story's ridiculous. We love musicals, but surely you sing in musicals. And when it comes to like the curtain calls, you do sing along, like something like Mamma Mia. Okay, you'll sit there and watch the performance, but then when they all come out on stage afterwards, you sing along
the end of the show, of course. I think there is that fine line, but again, not touching upon the Dermot and Alison at the moment, but I do think you do have to be conscious of not just the actors, but absolutely the actors, but everyone involved, people's experience that are sat next to you, because we might all think we're Whitney after a couple of Sauvignons. But I can tell you right now, I am no
Whitney Houston.
I mean, put a mic in my hand and I can belt out "I Have Nothing." Or I can belt out any Whitney.
I can imagine you're very good at karaoke, actually, as it happens.
Well, finalist on Celebrity
He's swiping
karaoke.
His brow.
I don't like to brag, but I'm not going to sing Whitney for you or anything right now, because I don't think our viewers need it.
It would not be appropriate. But the thing is, yes, does there need to be a wider conversation about audience etiquette? Absolutely, there needs to be a wider conversation. Yeah. And should we debate it? Absolutely, we should debate it. Point it out. Let's have reasonable discussions. But to say... oh, I am absolutely outraged. You need to apologise but for not understanding the full nuances of a story when not all the facts were available. Because even with this story,
they wouldn't have known.
They wouldn't have known. Was this at the end? Was this in the middle? What song was it? You know, when this clip did come out, it was very... You could hear it was "I Will Always Love You," which is a very... you know, it's a very intimate part of the show.
So,
and it is a hard song to sing. And we've all seen the clips on X Factor where several auditionees
ruining it.
Or to be fair, they made their own iconic rendition, either or.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. I think the utter vitriol that has been aimed at these presenters, it's been cancel culture at work. And I know,
and
Vanessa,
that's the thing with social media.
It
now.
Is.
I think now, obviously,
you can't have a debate.
Have a phone, so, and everyone's so accessible. Gone are the days where you're writing a letter to Points of View.
Yeah.
Or to the BBC or ITV.
Or you're emailing in. Who emails in anymore?
Or writing a letter, PO box. That's not a thing. So you pick up your phone whilst you're on the sofa, as the presenters are talking about it, and everyone now can just... fire that off, and within seconds, and that's kind of where we're at now. I love social, but there is that.
There's positives to it,
of course. But I mean, and it's no secret for the last 4.5 years, I've been campaigning to make it a better place in terms of trolling and
I think
that regulated, because it has become. I mean, I don't.
Well, you say it's
become bashing it, but it's. There is a dark side to social media.
Completely.
It does have some uses, but there is a dark side. And if we're not acknowledging that, something's wrong. Like,
well, you say it's become. I remember 5 years ago when I was just an audience member on Big Brother's Bit on the Side before I went to uni. I say 5 years ago, it might be closer to 8. But even
still... He's knocking them years off
again. No, but even still, like... And I was just an audience member who loved Big Brother. I wasn't... You know, this was... whilst I was at university, not even in journalism school, you know, anything like that. And I was just an audience member, and Rylan and Emma used to get me on because I used to love to speak about it because I was a massive fan of the show.
It was passionate.
It was. And then I would after the show would air, I would have a whole barrage of tweets from these people. I was an audience member, for God's sake.
See, that says it all,
it
though,
it does,
it?
But there's just... I find with Twitter, you cannot have, like, fair enough, if you want to troll the trolls and fight back in your own way and prove a point to yourself, more than happy, go on, wish you luck, babe. But you can't have a debate. You cannot have a conversation. Nuance, sarcasm, wit is just not possible on social media.
And I think even just not in social, in terms of even, because how many people can say they've sent a message to someone? Now, I'm a big believer. Like, I mean, I love a voice note. You send a voice note or a voicemail or a phone call, you can tell in someone's tone how they're saying something. Mm. Now, if you literally took that exact message and wrote it, that doesn't always
come across because it's all in the delivery. Different.
Do you know absolutely what I mean? There's certain things, if you took a voice and you literally transcribed it and you wrote it, you think, oh gosh, that sounds a bit fucking harsh. Mm. Well, that's a bit strong. Mm. But if you played the message, it could be said with love and light, and it's banter.
And I wonder how many of these messages that have come across like trolling actually have been just people pointing out stuff but not realising just how hurtful it sounds online.
And I think the thing is, and what I've realised, because I've tried to get the bottom of it, but once you're down that rabbit hole trying to work out trolls, you can't climb back.
Yeah,
you'll go a bit mad.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what I've realised is there is no working out why trolls troll. They just do. But I think there is the general consensus is people think when something's online, if you're in the public eye, everyone's kind of just fair game and you deserve it. But also people think, well, I've not said it to your face. Mm. But to me, I can't stress enough, whether you come up to me on Oxford Street and say something or you write it, whether I read it or I hear it, it's the same thing. Mm. Just because you've only written it,
yeah,
that doesn't make it all right.
No.
I'm outside your house, I'm going to petrol bomb it. Oh, on a tweak, that's all right. But would you come up to me at Piccadilly Circus and go, all right, I'm going to come to your house now and petrol bomb it. I'd go, well, please don't. But that's the joy of social media.
Well, I just hope that some of these people that would tweet stuff like that get the help that they need. Get well soon. I hope you get the help that you need.
And on that note, just to kind of close that off lovely, I'm a genuine believer, because I was trying to see the good in things, got to be the positive person here. I genuinely believe that hurt people hurt people. So whoever's firing off this nastiness, and it's bitter and vile, you ain't a happy person. To send that and to me it's poison when people are writing that, you ain't happy, so get well soon.
And I can empathise with that, because when I was at one of my last jobs, I was going through a really tough time, I didn't recognise myself at the end of it. I almost became a person that I did not recognize. I became a person that I was like, you're getting into bad habits. You've become toxic. You've become negative. You've become bitchy. You've become resentful. That's not me. And it's true. It's because I was going through a hurt place.
Yeah.
That hurt festers into other hurt. So you're absolutely right there.
Oh, what a lovely little convo.
I loved it.
Let's have a little trail and go straight into our first interview, babes.
Why not?
FUBAR Radio presents
The Dating Show.
Oh, I would love to fuck Jessica Rabbit.
Yeah, but she's not a kid. She's an adult
obviously. But I mean, she's still a cartoon. Still, but obviously that would, or Esmeralda from The Hunchback of Notre Dame, beautiful. Ariel from Little Mermaid, would love to give her one.
She was a bit young.
What, Ariel? No, she wasn't. She was a woman.
Was she?
He fucks her.
She wasn't really a woman, but yeah. But they're both young, aren't they? And they're like 18, 19.
All right, well, I mean...
You go that low, don't you?
The Dating Show, every Friday from 6 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
Guys, we have got our first guest in the house, and it is a lovely Camille Lamb from Below Deck. Camille, you're live on Zoom. How are you, darling?
I'm doing well. It's just another rainy day in Florida, but, you know.
It ain't raining now.
It's raining now. It's coming down.
You're joking. We're in London and it's raining. I didn't expect that from Florida.
Yeah, I know. I know it rains a lot in London, but...
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, just a little
bit. We've had the longest winter, I won't lie. We did have about 20 minutes of sun the other day, but that's our lot.
Nice.
How are you, my love? What's going on? Because you've been a busy girl, haven't you?
Oh, I have been. It's been a crazy ride. You know, I've been doing really well. I started on American Idol and then I did Below Deck. And it's been a year since we filmed it. And the season just ended like a couple weeks ago. And I mean, it's just been crazy. I started doing music and now I'm releasing records and I've got fan sites. And it's just, I'm, you know, self-employed at this point. So that's, you know, always great.
Because obviously you pre-record it so far in advance, I can't imagine filming and you've got to wait a whole year.
Horrible, I mean,
sometimes at most, like when it was just a few weeks, it used to stress me out waiting for the turnaround because I went from it being 3 days to weeks. But a year, when you now sit there and watch something back, are you happy with how you've been edited and how true to life is that, babe?
You know, babe, I'll tell you this, it's a lot to wait a year. Mm-hmm. And I got medicated for anxiety medicine because it was that intense, you know? And then watching it back, it was even more intense because I personally believe it is not true to the story. There was a lot of clips that get edited together to create the dumb blonde who doesn't know how to work. So I'm just adopting it, you know?
Yeah, and Camille, kind of on that note, Captain Sandy in that, you were fired and you were called, quote, too lazy. You know, mm-hmm. how did that feel? Because obviously this isn't just a kind of show that airs just in the US. This is a show on streaming. It's got an international audience and, you know, that can't be good for you and your future. How did you feel watching that back and reliving that? What effect has that had on you?
To be honest, I felt like, you know, and I don't want to victimize myself, but I certainly felt like an easy target. I kind of have a pretty chill demeanor, so it's easy to take that as being lazy. Although in my personal opinion, I feel as if I, you know, worked really hard. So it's difficult to watch it back and have the, you know, perspective of me be a lazy person because, you know, here I am, have been on two television shows. You know, I live in one of the most expensive places in the United States on my own dime. You know, it's like a lazy person, it's difficult for a lazy person to do all this. So, you know, it is difficult to have that perception of me all over the internet. So.
So in terms of that season, obviously, you feel this passionately that someone said something so strongly about you that you disagree with. But obviously, when you're living and breathing that show and you're filming, you know them people inside out, like your cast members. When you're watching that boat, do you think other people have been edited unfairly or it's not true to life? Because you're in the hands of the edit suite, aren't you? Once you film a reality show and they hand that over, like, I think people think that we watch shows back and we get to sign off on it and go, yeah, I'm happy with that. No. Until it airs, you don't know what's there until it goes out.
Yeah. Well, you know, I can't really speak to if anyone else was edited unfairly. I think everyone has their moments in the season where they're like, well, that didn't happen like that. You know, I wish I could go and, you know, scream it from the mountaintops that it didn't go down like that. But, you know, I will say, like, watching it back, it was really difficult to see some of the things that Alyssa said about me. You know, it's like, if I'm going to be lazy, cool, but, you know, at least I'm not running around calling people names. So, you know, it was really difficult to watch back. It was.
Do you regret doing the show?
No, I don't. You know, I love the entertainment industry and I know that, you know, with this industry, it's freaking brutal. So I was prepared for it to go down similar to this. I mean, when I get fired, you can see it on my face. Like I'm genuinely shocked because I'm no dumb girl. And I was like, why? What am I getting fired for? You know, like in real life, there's no way I would get fired. You know, I never received a warning. Like, well, I did receive warnings, but it's like I kept improving. So it was just, you know, and then the way I got fired for drinking on the job, I mean, that's just a whole nother thing.
So I've got to touch upon it because anyone who's watched the season will see that you had a romance, or you call it like a boatmance.
I love
it. A little boatmance with Mr. Ben Willoughby. So you and Ben have announced recently that it hasn't worked out. So where do you guys stand now? Are you friends? Are you speaking? Do you hate him?
No, I don't hate him. He's such a nice guy. I'll tell you that it ended like not really like in the best terms because, you know, I was just so anxious about the season coming out and I just wasn't myself. And so I didn't, you know, treat him fairly like after the show ended and we tried to get our relationship going. We don't really talk much. I think I broke his heart. And I probably did. I mean, I didn't go about it the right way to end it all. So I think we're good. He actually just called me recently. We had a short conversation, but yeah, I don't know.
Could there be anything in the future? You're on talking terms. Anything? Potentially?
No, I'm going to be honest. No.
Because the season 10 reunion was, it's reportedly been cancelled. Was there a part of you that was disappointed that it was cancelled? Were you looking forward to kind of having your say?
I was looking forward to it, but, you know, the reunion was going to be edited as well. So anything I said, like, forget it. If it didn't work with their storyline, it was going to be out anyway. So, I mean, at the end of the day, it was like, whatever. If there's not a reunion and I don't get to say what I need to say, cool. But even if I did get to say what I needed to say, I seriously doubt it would have made the cut.
So what's the word on the street? Because you was in like a little bit of a love triangle. Is he now cracking on with Leanne? How do you feel about that? Because it's never nice when someone that you have liked, even if you're the one that's kind of pulled back, it's never nice to see it, is it? Especially on TV.
So I'm going to let you guys in on a little something that happened. So once I got fired, they flew me back out after the season ended to film the promotionals that they show in the beginning. And so I walk on the boat and I'm like, Ben, and like, we're excited to see each other. And this isn't filmed, you know, and the season has already wrapped, but I like laying on his chest. And then the boat engineer who comes with the boat when we start the season walked up and goes, "Hey, you need to go clean up the master cabin from last night." And I was like, "What?"
Oh, yeah. And what are you cleaning up, babe? Spill the tea.
And so his face got like kind of red. And I was like, what is going on? And then I see this girl and she was in a blue shirt. And I was like, wait, what? Is that the new girl? Like, I didn't know who she was. I thought maybe she was a part of the like, you know, production team. I had no idea.
And did you like put two and two together at that point?
Yeah, at that right then and there. And I like sat up and I was like, oh, you might want to go clean up down there.
So did you go and look at the room? What needed cleaning up?
Oh, no, I didn't go.
You didn't want to see it.
Stay away. Stay away from that room.
I don't want to see it.
No. Because it's not a nice thing. It hurts.
And then so, you know, after the season ended, we went to the Dominican. Ben and I went to the Dominican. And then he ended up coming to Florida. And then we broke up. And then Leanne came to Florida. And then after we broke up, he went with Leanne in Florida. And then I don't know if you saw Leanne's post, but like apparently he like ghosted her or something and there's some drama there, but
So imagine if this was the reunion now. What would you say to Ben?
I don't know. Oh man, I would probably it'd be somewhere along the lines of like, how could you have been so like in love with me, but like you can just easily like hip hop, you know, back and forth from her, me and her.
And what would you say to Leanne?
Well, I've actually met Leanne. So me and Leanne actually had, I have some photos with her. We had pickup interviews together in LA. And she's lovely.
So there's no kind of rivalry or hatred between you and Leanne. You both kind of, you feel on the same boat, so to speak, no pun intended.
Well, you know, I didn't know any of the things she said about me until the season came out. So she calls me, you know, Poppy, which is a dumb American blonde in Africa.
Oh.
You know, she like calls me a lot of really like awful names. You know, I'm just, you can call me dumb. It's an easy target, whatever. But like, you know, after I saw that, if there were a reunion, I was talking to her right now, I'd be like, you know, you have no idea who I am. You know nothing about me. And you're basing all your opinions of me off of the way I look. And, you know, aren't we taught at a young age, like not to do that?
And the thing is, especially when you've not seen someone say something and you feel you've been good to them and you've been upfront and straight with them, it's a kick in the veneers, isn't it? To watch something back on TV and know someone's dogged you, and they ain't they ain't really got the balls to tell you to your face, but they'll sit on camera and slate you. And you kind of think that shows what someone's about, though.
I mean, tell me about it. And like, you know, I'm watching the season and I'm thinking about myself, like, obviously, as we all are. And to me, when I watched it back, I thought, wow, you know, in my interviews, I'm talking about how poorly Alyssa treats me. And in everyone else's interviews, they're talking about how shitty I am. And I'm like, you know, I was like, this is crazy. Like, I had like, what sucked is that I had no idea. Like, Fraser never expressed any concern to me personally about my work ethic. Like, there's a scene where I ask him, I'm like, apparently, you know, all three of you guys think I'm lazy because that's what Alyssa told me. And he's like, we can talk about that later. So I don't know.
Do you think part of it is producers kind of telling you guys what to do and kind of pointing you guys in certain directions to almost bring about storylines, like little nudges? It's the same in Essex. Denise Van Outen would always go at the beginning, and some of these scenes were set up purely for your entertainment. You know,
get that disclaimer. Get that top of the show.
Exactly. So, was there an element of kind of producers maybe talking to people, going, "Well, what do you think about this one? What do you think about that one? Did you see her? She might have said this." Like,
oh yeah, tell me about it. Like. Yeah, that's, I mean, of course, that's my answer to that. Of course, they'll pop out of their little room and come up to you and be like, I don't know why everybody's picking on you, but you know, and it's like, gee, you know, and then so you like, I think my biggest regret, honestly, from the show was being so vain,
trusting,
gullible. I was so gullible and I knew better. I knew better.
So, babe, moving on from Below Deck, I wanted to touch upon it because it seems to be huge right now. OnlyFans. Mm.
Yeah.
You've recently signed up. What kind of content are you creating, if you don't mind me asking? How are you finding it? Are you liberated by it?
I am. I'm having a really, really good time with it. I don't know if because I was on a television show, my fans are a little more respectful, but they're very respectful of my boundaries. And, you know, right now I'm doing like, I would say Playboy-esque type shoots with, you know, lingerie. And I set the scene. I do very well done photos. I'm not sending people, you know, mirror pics of like me and a custom video of my, like, you know, legs spread, like none of that stuff. It's really like, for example, if I was able to have my own magazine and someone could buy a magazine full of photos of me, you know, so that's the idea that I, you know, have been riding with. And it's man, it's done well.
I'm not a subscriber.
Full ring lights
no shock, I'm on the other bus, babe. But if I weren't, I would. But I can imagine your content is a bit well lit, lovely ring light, lovely blow dry, stunning. I mean, your eyes are gorgeous. You're a beautiful girl.
Thank you very much. Yeah, they're very stunning photos. I hire an incredible photographer. Like, the last photo shoot I did was at a restaurant bar, and it's like a speakeasy vibe, and I'm in like this gold like dress that's like like fishnets, you know. It's nude in a way, but it's like, it's very elegant, everything that I'm doing. And I think, you know, nudity is so taboo. Mm. Although you look at, you know, all of our examples in the mass media, and you can almost, you know, find a nude photo of them anywhere. So I mean, I don't know, I do think some people will disagree with it, and I'll say this, I'm nobody's, you know, I'm not a young girl's example, and I don't want to be. I'm not saying this is the route to go and, you know, the way to do it. It's just I'm comfortable with it. And you know, I've got some slack online for, you know, being like, well, is this what you want to teach young girls to do? And it's like, you know, OnlyFans gets a bad rap because they do allow pornography on the site, but it's not only used for that. So
I guess it was almost like inevitable with the decline of all the mags like Playboy, like FHM, like
Nuts
and Zoo and all of that stuff, that's a platform like this where an artist can almost reclaim that what they want to do in that respect.
And create your own content. And that's why I always ask girls.
On your own
girls
terms,
especially.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of guys that do it here in the public eye. But I was, is it quite a liberating thing? Because generally, I'm guessing directors are men when you're doing lads mags and things. So when you're deciding, I'm going to wear this, this is how I'm going to pose, this is what I want to do, it's like you're taking the power back.
And you're taking the reins, yeah.
Yeah, and you're taking the coins as well. So win-win.
Exactly. So, you know, think of it this way. A model poses for Playboy and gets paid, I don't know, let's just say, for sake of example, $5,000 for the shoot. And then, you know, Hugh Hefner makes billions off of it. You know, so it is a way to reclaim your power. And, you know, people have always done calendars and posters and things like that. And it's just the E form of that. And, you know, I watched the show back and they aired some stuff of me having, you know, sex. I mean, that's just the term I'm going to use because that's what it was.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know, at this point, I am a pretty free, fun person, but let me show you how I want to do it. And it's going to be in a very classy way. And it's going to be nice to look at. You know, it's not like I said, hey, I want a tit pick. And I'm like, taking a tit pick at, you
know, at every opportunity. Yeah.
So yeah. What's the situation in terms of, because with the rise of OnlyFans, we're seeing, especially people with profiles that are on the platform, we're seeing people kind of do collabs.
Yeah.
Are you very much just doing solo stuff at the minute? And if you was going to dabble on the collabs, is there anyone out there, especially on the Below Deck team, but just in reality TV in general, who would you like to collab with on the old OnlyFans?
Honestly, I hope somebody sees this and comes and asks me, because I'm so new to OnlyFans that I don't even know who's on the platform. And I really don't know. I really couldn't answer that question. But if anyone sees this and they want to collab, I would love to.
Slide into them DM, guys, and I'm sure them DMs are going to be popping. I wish I had more time, because I was like to ask my guest. I'm going to ask you quickly. What are the DMs saying? Have you got any blue tick dick sliding in there? What are they saying? Because they love it, especially a pretty girl like you.
You said blue ticks.
Blue verified. Tick dick.
Verified.
Verified. You know the little blue tick when someone's verified. Yeah, yeah. Who you got sliding in?
Oh, I don't know if I can, you know.
Yes, you can. We're friends. You can. Here. It's only us three.
Oh, a couple of athletes.
Oh, I'd love to hear more, but thank you for spilling the little bit of tea. Oh, bless you. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you here on Access All Areas.
This was lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome. Take care, darling.
Bye, Camille.
Bye.
I would love to know who the athletes are.
I know. And if they've got partners or whatever, like it just makes you think, but it's the OnlyFans subject, isn't it? That was interesting. And it is, it's true. When you think about the decline of lads mags, you've still got these empowered women that want to take it.
Own their bodies and make that money. Oh, great little chat. Let's play a little trail and then we'll go straight into our next interview, babes.
Can't wait.
Fubar Radio presents Ian
Molesworth. Danny Vegas is in the studio. This morning, I lost 20 minutes thinking, what would I do if an ostrich came in the game? And that's 20 minutes I'm never getting back.
What would you do?
My first instinct was, I'd try and bring it down with my shoulders, my upper body strength and some laces.
Right, OK.
Then I thought maybe I'd tie two trainers together and do a... You know, go for the ankle.
That was hurting, yeah.
Bring it down. That's like good. An
attack. Yeah. If I did manage to capture it, whose neighbour's garden would have let it free? Why must I get stuck with this bloody ostrich?
Every Monday,
Ian Boltsworth.
From 4 PM.
FUBAR Radio.
Guys, and welcome back. Now, we've got the lovely Joel joining us now from MIC. Joel, you are live on Zoom. How are you, babe?
Hello, how are you?
Really good, thank you. Thanks for joining us, because you was meant to be in the studio this evening, weren't you? But you've literally just finished filming Made in Chelsea.
Yes, I have. So I couldn't make it today.
That's all right. Thanks for still jumping on the Zoom. How was filming today?
How was filming? Stressful, as always.
What's been going down? What can you tell us, babe?
Oh, I can't tell you much.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, you can. You're speaking to a fellow reality star here. You can't get away with that.
That's true. I mean, well, then you know exactly how it is. I feel like filming about relationships, about friendship dramas is stressful at times, and just being like honest and open with your partner on a national audience can at times be difficult. But obviously, I'm happy to share moments of struggle
it can be really difficult. I mean, absolutely, because the thing is as well, it's difficult when you're just living that experience with a partner and something's not right, but then filming about it and then it airs and everyone's got an opinion on it. How am I finding the opinions?
Well, I've chose not to like look at the comments or read the comments, but every now and again one slaps you in the face and you're like, oh.
You know what they say, opinions are like arseholes, everyone has one. And on social media, everyone wants to give theirs. But, I mean, relatively, for anyone who's listening who hasn't caught up with this season, so I've just been speaking to someone from Below Deck, I'm talking American season. We say series here, don't we? Or do you call it a season on Made in Chelsea? Because it's a bit posh.
Well, am I posh? I don't know. I'm from Yorkshire.
But anyone who's on Made in Chelsea has a touch of poshness.
Well, I guess so. Maybe I'm just fucking the posh.
It's dipping the wick in the posh. But how do you feel? Because, I mean, at least it's not got... No one's cheated on each other. No, that's when things get really shit on reality TV, when someone's cheated on you. So at the minute, you're still relatively all right-ish.
No, I think in general, we're good. We've had a weekend to reconnect with each other. But yeah, I think obviously Robbie's studying and it's his finals. It's his final year. So
that's stressful.
For him, his studies come first. And within that, obviously our relationship has taken a few twists and turns. I feel like the landscape of what our relationship started out as has changed. So it's about now reconnecting with each other and understanding how it has changed and where we go from here.
Do you think reality TV makes it harder for you to navigate your relationship?
1,000,000%. 1,000,000%. I feel like you have producers in your ear. You have obviously your feelings and their feelings. And sometimes you can't speak about them until you're in front of a camera. Obviously, that adds tension and drama, which is perfect for TV. But I think obviously without that element, our relationship would be totally different.
And then obviously the other cast get involved and they have to have an opinion, because reality TV, everyone's got to have an opinion-ish. But that can kind of then, you feel like someone's taking sides, or the worst, when you know someone's like kind of being a bit biased or covering for someone, I think, oh, I can't really say how they feel. When you know how they feel in real life, it just becomes the smallest thing in real life, which would be a bit difficult, becomes so much trickier, because they're at work. So people are conscious of what they're saying. They're backing the person they're backing. It's like people are picking teams and sides.
I mean, there's definitely a couple of antagonizers, so...
And who might that be?
Certain Inga there?
Yeah. Who's pissed on your chips, Joe? Come on.
Definitely Sam Prince is an antagonizer, for sure.
Is that the main one you're thinking at the minute is causing a little bit of beef?
Well, if anybody watched the episode last night, you'll see that we got into it a little bit.
Is there anyone that he hasn't got into it with? Like throwing the water on Julius? Like, genuinely, is there anyone that Sam Prince hasn't?
No.
But kind of
happily rattle anybody's cage.
But also kind of on that front, because you mentioned before that you are from Yorkshire, and then obviously, you know, Bobby, you know, there's a stereotype from people from Essex, like the whole shut up, the jazzle thing. And in Maids in Chelsea, there's this stereotype, particularly with the boys, posh, cocksure, arrogant. You know, what has it been like for you as somebody who's come in from the outside, from a different location, maybe even a different background? Has there been a culture clash there, would you say?
1,000,000%. Like, I just look at half of them and I'm like, what the fuck?
Is it worlds apart to being back home in Yorkshire? Now, Yorkshire's a lovely part of the world and do amazing tea.
It is gorgeous. I'd like to think of myself as a well-traveled individual. Like I lived in America for a good few years, so I've seen all types of people.
So you've been about, Joe. Basically,
I ran around the block a couple of times.
So have you officially emigrated now to Chelsea?
I mean, I guess so, but not. Hopefully, not for too long. I'm more of like an East London girl. Like I like culture, and I feel like Chelsea is deprived of culture, and it's deprived of arts, and it's deprived of all these things that I love.
So you are Shoreditch rather than Kensington?
Oh, 1,000,000%.
And also something else that I'm very interested in. So you and Robbie have very much opened up on the show about your experience with homophobia, particularly when you went away. How was that, and how was it reliving it? Because to do that, that's something that is a very brave thing to do.
Do you know what? I was so happy to be able to share that story. Obviously, the circumstances are not great. But it's a story that, you know, a lot of gay people live over and over. Like, a lot of people have to think about where I'm traveling and what are the implications of being gay in that country. I think, you know, it's an important story to share, and I was happy to do so. I feel like often on reality TV, gay people aren't given the correct voice. I think there's a lot of stereotypes, there's a lot of conversations that don't get aired enough, and that for me was, you know, something that I was happy to share.
I'll let you take this one, Bob.
Yeah, me and Josh was talking at the top of the show, and what made me sad about that is, I mean, I think I'm about 6 months older than you.
Not this again, Bob.
It might be a year. But anyway, I never realised all jokes aside, shits and giggles, I'm like mid 30s, 35.
Yeah.
Actually, now I think 36 now. Anyway.
See, we do about the age.
We're knocking the years off when you're gay. You'll get to that point, Joe.
You're getting older every second.
Yeah, you start dropping them down. I think 35, 36. Now, I don't think there's a gay man in the land that's got to my age that hasn't had some kind of homophobia or gay slurs. Just because the age, I was very much of that period where, I mean, it's better than if I was 55. Of course, I acknowledge that. But I thought it was better than if I was 25. I thought the world was moving in the right direction. So it makes me very sad that there's guys in their 20s where this is still very much a thing. And how sad the world we're living in, with all the stuff we're all going through, how people still have the time and the hatred for sexuality. Why are people bothered? Do you know what I mean? Like, to me, it blows my mind.
It baffles me. I think the type of person I am, I've always been like a happy-go-lucky, carefree gay person. Like, I will just walk into a room and always be myself.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it always comes as a shock to me when you actually experience situations like that. Like, it leaves me in disbelief, but at the same time, like, it's a reality. Like, Black people have to think about, you know, where they're traveling to, because there's racism, there's sexism, there's all kinds of isms. And unfortunately, when you leave the UK, you are privy to it a little bit more.
I won't go into details on it, but there's absolutely a couple of places that I would never go on holiday to that a lot of my friends go on the regular. And they're like, oh, Bob, you'll be all right. And I'm like, oh, I just don't feel comfortable. And also, I kind of don't like the fact that I'm paying good money to go to a place where I know your views and your thoughts on me. If I'm going to go to a nice little hotel and have an holiday, but you'll take my money, but you don't like me or you don't agree. Same, just don't sit well. But how sad in 2023 that's even a thing.
I totally agree. I mean, I've seen what you wear on holiday.
Oh, God, no, do not do that to me. That was many, many years ago.
Can I just say, I remember when that made it onto Fashion Police with Joan Rivers.
Oh, my God.
And I was in Dubai at the time. and we were watching E! Entertainment, and we saw that. And I was just like, I don't know what I was. More shocked of what you were wearing, or more shocked at the fact that you and Harry from TOWIE made it onto E! News globally?
God rest her soul. It was literally, I think, a matter of weeks before she died. Bless her. Now, I love Joan Rivers. Now,
salute to all the Joan Rangers. Yeah, salute.
I'm doing my crosses and I'm sending love to Joan.
The late, great Joan.
Ledge and an icon and never forgotten.
Amen.
But for me, that's kind of what I thought, you know. Well, even though she's fucking ruined me and annihilated me, I felt like I'd made it a little bit. Because I was getting messages.
Did.
I mean, Instagram weren't a thing then. I was getting tweeted. Oh, but because TOWIE was quite big in America in the early days.
Chris Pratt loved it.
Yeah, but like, you used to tweet and they'd be like, sat there. And you can always tell an American now. Yeah. You know what I mean? They've got the little outhouse, the little pole. And they was filming their TVs and taking photos. And I was like, you're on Fashion Police. I thought you were winding me up. But anyway, yeah, God rest her. I think it was one of her last shows. I mean, she said that the tattoo anchor on my chest was gayer than Anderson Cooper. Have you ever seen a gayer anchor? But absolute legend. But I mean, to be fair,
that's her in a nutshell, isn't it?
That's her, and I cringe. That's the one thing I've done in 10 years on that show where, even I cringe out my arsehole a little bit.
Well, at least you can die happy that Joan Rivers knows who you are.
Exactly, yeah. But very true, very true. And you can look back and, I mean, as I say, I was very, very young at the time. But I had the audacity, but there's a certain Paps shot that kind of went everywhere. Because I remember the Paps coming, because we was filming in Marbella, and they'd all be outside our hotel, and they went, oh, we've sold it to Australia. All these countries, every day there was a different country. So I was like, what are they thinking of it? But when the producers went, right, this is what you're going to do, the coordination, I was like, I'll have to have daiquiris because the schlong thong was red. I knew I needed red drinks. I think they wanted to give me a pina colada.
No, and you're like, give me a strawberry daiquiri
now. I drink coconut, gives me an itchy throat. Well, there's a certain chocolate bar that does. I won't spill the tea on which one, but I'm sure you can work it out. It's coconut. But yeah, but I would never have a daiquiri. I would never have a pina colada. So I went, no, let's make it red. Anyway, enough about that. Do you want me to send you a schlong thong? I think I've still got it.
Please.
You're the model. You'd probably look good in it, babe.
I mean, it probably wouldn't fit.
You could wear it whilst DJing.
He's throwing the shade at me. How is the DJ going? Moving on from my schlong.
It's going fabulously, thank you.
And are you loving that equally as much as kind of being a model and fashion? Where's your preference?
I think for me, what I love is creating experiences for people. I think some of the most amazing moments in my life have been on the dance floor. I think that's where I connect with the most. I love cooking. I love music. I love doing things that bring people together.
If you love being on the dance floor, you definitely need my schlong thong, then that brings people together. So you're currently, because I know...
I'll get it on Chelsea.
Oh gosh, can you imagine? I'd love to see what they think of
because
that.
The thing is...
What do they call it? The blue bird, is it?
Yeah, the blue bird in Chelsea. Bird.
Yeah, rock on there.
Taking that to whole new levels. Yeah.
Take that on the next trip, because you've not done a trip yet with MIC, have you?
No, I think I'm going away for the next one. I think they start filming that in the next, I think it'll be May time.
Where are you going?
I don't know if I can disclose that.
Is it Marbella? I doubt it.
No, it's is it Chelsea. Yeah. It will be something like Saint-Tropez.
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah,
like, even something... Ibiza for Chelsea is, like, kind of pushing it, yeah, like, close to the wind.
I can imagine your faces when you all get the WhatsApp. They'd be like, no.
It's definitely somewhere Mediterranean.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We could work from there.
Yes.
Oh, and how do you feel about going on your first away trip? Because that's where shit really goes down on them trips, because you're all living together. You can't go home. They're the ones I used to find the trickiest, was always the abroad trips.
I think I will come alive the most on an away trip.
I because... bet you will.
Yeah.
After a couple of painters or a couple of daiquiris.
Yeah, give me a few cocktails and Jesus.
Bit of truth, Joes. Let's imagine the scene. You've gone somewhere lovely, whether it's Marbella, unlikely, but wherever you're filming, you've had a couple of cocktails, and someone says to you, right, you've got to go and have it out with someone. Who's the one cast member you'd go up to after your two peeners, and what would you say to them?
It depends how I'm feeling.
Right, Sam Prince, what would you say?
Probably. I think there's some people that you look at and you're like, you're good to argue with. But there's some people where you're like, I'm not going to argue with you. Like, I'd probably never argue with Maeve because that's just not something that I'm here to do.
What about Inga?
I mean, I think my thing is, I don't like fighting crazy. Like, you can't battle crazy with crazy. So for me, probably not.
Does she scare you a little bit?
I think when people overreact, it's a little bit confusing to me.
And would you say people are very true to life on Made in Chelsea? When you say people go a bit crazy, is that because there's cameras on them? Would they be like that in the Bluebird on a Friday night?
I don't think so. I feel like obviously there's some kind of incentive to be crazy.
Yeah.
But obviously, like, are you willing to just let go of all your morals for a bit of TV time? I don't know.
Because I can imagine, like, you're arguing in front of the camera, whatever, and then you turn around and go, well, that was great television. Thanks for that.
But there are certain people on certain shows where they just, that the thirst is real for a storyline. And the things people will do, it's borderline scary. Well, I'm not talking about anyone in particular.
What I'm saying, yeah, it can get scary. I feel like I've come out pretty unscathed though so far. So, we'll see. I think in general though, there's storylines that I've loved filming as well, like Robbie's first drag scene. That to me was like so special. I really enjoyed that. I loved it. I think there's some moments that are so special that you can film. I think if you use the show to the best of your abilities, they have access to so many people, so many professional people. Like we did couples therapy this season on the show, and we connected with like an amazing therapist, and like moments like that for me are what make the show worthwhile.
Absolutely. And last question, just because we were talking about it with our last guest. What's your thoughts on OnlyFans?
My boyfriend wants me to do an OnlyFans.
Would you do it?
Put it that way.
Would you do an OnlyFans?
Maybe not, but I'd never say never.
Never say never. And what better way to...
If everything else fails...
It all fails, you know what to do. But what a lovely way to end the interview. Thank you so much, Joel. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Take care.
Yeah, best of luck to you.
I'll send you that schlong film. What a lovely interview. What a lovely show, babes.
I know. It's gone so quickly, hasn't it?
It just flies by. Honestly, thank you for coming in and working with me this evening. It's been an absolute pleasure.
No, thank you for having me. Loved every minute. And I'll see you on a red carpet very soon once I'm fully recovered.
You get well soon. And guys, I will see you next week. Take care.